Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Colonel Tony Monaco about Patriot Outreach. Then Marine Vet Kelly Cooper will share about his past service to our nation and what he plans to do. General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. And, of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce retired Army Colonel Tony Monaco. Tony and I both grew up around Los Angeles, so we may sound alike, but our stories are a lot different. Anyway, Tony's really focused on helping vets. So welcome, brother. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Dennis, you're a true warrior. Appreciate your efforts and keep charging on.
Hey, that's what we do, bro. Tony, start by giving us a quick time about your time in Mother Army. When, why did you join? What'd you do?
Well, I joined originally because a Green Beret. I read the book. I threw it aside. My mom told me to go out and help the plumber. End up being a Green Beret, retired just back from Vietnam. And I got all excited. I call him up and I said, how old do you have to be a Green Beret? 18. You got to have two specialties and a paratrooper. Sign my ass up. And I did. Of course, naivety of youth is you really do have to jump out of the jet. But as you know, being a paratrooper yourself, I had 6 years enlisted, 2 years cadet, and 30 years commissioned officer. I ended up being a one from E1 to full colonel. I attended the War College. I was deployed twice. I commanded two battalions at the same time in I-4. And I was a group commander. I had five battalions and a couple thousand troopies. And in my last deployment, I was with OJE at SOCCENT, that's Special Operation Command Central. But what happened, my friend, is I ran across one of my soldiers who were having some difficulties that nobody can explain. And as a result, that's how Patriot Outreach got started. Discovered my soldier had problems with extreme emotional duress. And as a result, we created Patriot Outreach in 2006.
Tony, are you telling me that as a retired officer, you still care about your troops, that you were concerned about them, and you actually took it upon yourself to do something?
Absolutely. I wish I had a paying job, because no one in Patriot Outreach has ever been paid. It's always been volunteers for all these years.
So you formed Patriot Outreach. This is a nonprofit that works Correct. With volunteers. What's the mission statement?
501c. Our mission is to provide confidential and effective support between those who seek professional help and the silent majority.
Aha.
There's a big difference in that.
Yes, sir, now, there sure is. Go ahead.
One of our biggest fans was the chief of psychiatry at Walter Reed. He personally invited me and escorted me at Walter Reed for 4 hours. When I walked into his office, he actually had our coping strategy CDs there. We've done over 300,000 CDs, tens of thousands of testimonials because it worked. But since he was the big kahuna, we had lunch. And we sat at this table with about 8-9 chairs. And within 5 minutes, the whole place was filled up. One lieutenant colonel, full-time mission, was to destigmatize asking for help. And of course, I asked him, how's it coming? He physically looked over his left or right shoulders to see if anybody was in earshot. And he says, it will never happen. And I go, why? And he said, all the research has shown it's part of the warrior ethos to begin with. A civilian analogy is like this. Let's play professional football, but don't hit anybody. You could do it. It just doesn't work. And so what happens is people can take our CDs in the quiet, in the privacy of their own home, and it makes a material difference. And we have a lot of outreach efforts. They've been tampered very severely over the last several years because of COVID, and we're still forging ahead. And here's the key point. If you have a friend, relative, first responder, military, it's needed more than ever. Over the New Year weekend, the VA crisis hotline fielded over 3,800 cries for help.
And that's just the ones who would call, right? Then there's the
other ones that called. That was just mind-boggling. And the thing is I was appointed an Army ambassador out of the Pentagon, and I was at an event, and it must have been 20, 30 people in the room. And One soldier lifted the CD, coping strategy CD in the air, flipped it around. Is this worth a darn? The major sitting next to me said, it worked for me. I was flabbergasted. I'll give the major credit. They spoke up when it was needed. But I raised that major from an E4 corporal.
Okay.
And afterwards, I said, what happened? And the problem was, I was deployed. Up tempo was crazy, sleepless nights, irritability, quick tempered. Soldiers were dying. Things were happening. My family's falling apart. I went to your webpage, patriotoutreach.org, and I downloaded it, and it worked for me. Here's the point. Now, one thank you, not keep up the good work. We appreciate it. It was complete silence. So that's why we have this difficulty and these suicide rates are high. It's because it's the silent majority that's afraid to reach out, speak out.
Yes,
and
sir.
I would encourage anyone to go to our webpage. And if there's a angel out there, we sure need your help, because like I said, even the VA has announced in their own writings that 5 veterans per day are committing suicide under their care.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontline to Freedom. We're talking with Tony Monaco. Tony, and there's all kinds of non-physical injury. There's moral injury and PTSD, and there's all kinds of stuff that people just tend not to want to talk about. And what I appreciate of what you're doing is, if somebody listening to our interview knows somebody who might be in that category, there's a tool you can give them. They don't have to go somewhere or do something, but if they decide to, that's fine. But there's a tool you can give them. And I think that's awesome. And your results are amazing. So please continue to talk about Patriot Outreach and how people can plug in.
Well, it's really, one of the things is I'm a retiree and I deal with a lot of bureaucracy running a 501c3. And one day I got really upset with the Oklahoma state tax problems. Here's what happened. The little voice in my head is, you should be retired. You shouldn't be doing this stuff. You know, take care of your own self, take care of your own family. And then what happened? My daughter called me up and says, Dad, you know, you have 2 outreach efforts ongoing right now. I said, I'm aware of them. I'm not aware exactly when and how. I have a volunteer that does that. But she calls me up an hour later. She says, I went to both without saying I knew anything. Both did very well explaining the programs. One personally benefited, one did not benefit. But that did not bring a tear to my eye, which has never really ever happened. She said, while I was standing there, an elderly man approached our outreach booth, threw his hands up in the air and said, you're back. And then said, you gave my son back to me. 6 months earlier, we had an outreach effort there. His son just came back from Iraq after 3 years dealing with suicidal talks, abusing drug, alcohol, and was complaining. And one of our volunteers gave him a coping strategy CD and it worked. And he goes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Why that brought a tear to my eye is because, unbeknownst to me, the invisible hand of God touched a family 6 months ago I had no knowledge of, but it made a material difference in that family.
What a story, and we need a million more of them.
Amen, brother.
Okay, we're about out of time. Talk specifically, how can people plug in? Specifically, what do they do?
Well, I would recommend anybody out there go to patriotoutreach.org, one word, .org. Look at the webpage, go to Coping Strategy CD and download it for free. If you need an order to hand it to somebody, just send in the request. It's as simple as that.
Patriot Outreach is a nonprofit, so they can probably go there and do donations too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every opportunity to get the word out there is what we're trying to do, and we're still doing it.
Tony, I cannot thank you enough for what you're doing. You are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. God bless you for what you're doing, with what you have done on active duty, and what you're doing now for our veterans and our nation. Thank you, brother.
You charge on, brother, and yeah, God bless.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops is time to balance on one foot for 3 minutes, then do the same thing on the other foot. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome Marine vet Kelly Cooper. Kelly's from Arizona and has served our nation and plans to keep serving our nation. So welcome to the show, Kelly. Or am I supposed to say welcome aboard since you were a jarhead?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Kelly, start by telling us about your time in the Marines. When and why did you join? Where did you serve? What did you do?
Well, so I became a jarhead, which kind of says a little bit about my past. And in junior high school, I was kind of a slough off kid that really needed guidance and direction. And a lot of people recommended for me that I join the Marine Corps, which I did. After graduating high school, I joined in 93. So I served, did my boot camp out in San Diego, based out of Camp Lejeune, 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines. Served from 93 to 97, and I loved it. It really changed my life. I grew up to a single mom, so a lot of that father figure, structure, discipline, organization, the things that really kind of foundation the man that I've become came from there. In 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, we did a UNITAS, which is all of South and Central America on ship. So the USS Lemoore County, before it was decommissioned and scuttled. I served a little bit in Cuba. We took Alpha Increment Air Alert to Guantanamo Bay back in 94 when Castro was sending people from his prisons to Florida. The Navy Coast Guard was gathering them up and bring them down to Guantanamo Bay. So we ended up down there in a hurry, guarding camps for a few months. And then as I took terminal leave, many of us will know what that means. I was too short for deployment with 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines. So I got transferred to 2nd Battalion, 2nd Marines and ended up doing that UNITAS. The first deployment I did, though, was Okinawa with a month in South Korea, which was pretty interesting in and of itself. But I'm one of the lucky that ended up between the two Gulf Wars. No stray bullets fired at me. I've done some interesting deployments and seen the world without the hazard of being shot at. So I'm blessed for that.
Well, yes, but I've got a lot of friends who serve about like you did, and they sometimes put down their services saying, oh, I was never in combat. Dude, you made yourself available. It wasn't your job. You weren't supposed to start a war,
right?
Because you were there, but you just made yourself available. So you're my brother in arms, and I thank you for your service. And I'm glad you did what you did so that I didn't have to do it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. You've served our nation that way. What did you do when you got out?
Yeah. So when I got out, I went back to, I sort of grew up in the north suburbs of Chicago. So I went back there, transferred to college. I went to a community college down near University of Illinois, started working, well, continued working in restaurants because that's what I've done since I was old enough to work. In between my sophomore and junior year, I was offered a management gig for a restaurant, opening restaurants around the Midwest and East Coast. And I decided that it was more advantageous to get paid to learn how to do what I wanted to do than to pay a college to teach me how to learn to do what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And so my eventual goal was to own restaurants, which I do today. And I took the opportunity to get paid to learn how to do that versus the other, which kind of helped out a lot.
Your mama didn't raise no fool, did she?
No, she did not.
Okay. So you're now a business owner. And you
sort of where I am today, because that foundation, it put me into what I have today. I own three restaurants and just signed my franchise agreement for a fourth. So it's three different concepts, four different units, hopefully by the end of this year. And all of that's based on, you know, hard work, sweat equity, the lessons I learned in the Marine Corps or the military just in general, and my mother, in which case that leads into, you know, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. It's not an easy job, but it's one that none of us would be here without. So I really, truly appreciate my mother and all of the mothers out there.
Amen, brother. So you were a goof off sort of in high school. You followed good advice and joined the Marines, and it did good things for you, just like joining the Army did for good things for me. You're now a businessman. You own some businesses. You live in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And you seem to have not gotten rid of the desire to serve our nation. Am I reading you right?
That's about right. The service bug runs pretty deep for me. I'm, you know, driven to serve. Marine veteran, local business owner. I'm also a community leader, and I value truly people over politics. So I believe that politics should be a calling and not a career. My wife and children taught me that compassion and not ideology wins in the end. And it's not possible, truly not possible, to make meaningful change by yourself, as we all know. So it's a great opportunity for us to leave the world a better place for our children and, you know, eventually my grandchildren. And the way that I found to do that was running for Congress. Okay. So I am a candidate for Congress in Arizona's District 4, which is South Phoenix or Ahwatukee, going east through Tempe, Chandler, and Mesa.
All right. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. We're continuing our conversation with Marine vet Kelly Cooper. So, Kelly, you're a businessman. You've looked things over. You see a need that you can fill by running for Congress. Why? What specific things do you see that you want to do that need doing that probably won't get done if you don't do it?
That's a great question. I think the three key things for me, or committees that I look at, which apply to my background and history, education, veteran services, and small business. Now, I serve on the NFIB, which is a National Small Business Association, as sort of an advisory board position for them. I host the Marine Corps birthday at my bar every year. I helped found the Chandler Veterans Coalition, which was the only city in Arizona that didn't have an advisory board for veterans to the city. So that's my background of service. What I think that we can have the most impact in is helping to address the veterans community, the issues that we're facing today, and having a true representative up there that sees it and knows how to address it. Man, out here in Arizona, we have the highest gas prices in the country. We're over $5 a gallon. One of the things for us as a small business owner, addressing the impacts of regressionary tax policy, regressionary fiscal policy, and just in general, regressionary policy of this current administration. When you have $5 a gallon gas, do you think that it affects Joe Biden? Absolutely not. And it doesn't affect the congressman that currently represents this district, who lives far north and outside of this district. It affects the people that live in this district and the people all over this country that are living paycheck to paycheck. Somebody that can go in there that understands how pushing productivity forward is the answer and not regressionary policy in how we handle our economics or in our economy is going to be huge for the people that are struggling, not only in my district, but around the nation. And I haven't seen that from very many representatives. I haven't seen that from most candidates. So to be able to bring my business background, my military background, and then on top of that, my family background. I'm married. I've been married 10 years this year. I have a second and a third grader at home. And when I said making the world a better place for our children and our grandchildren, that means something to me. I see what kids are being taught in school or not taught, I think is more appropriate. I see the failing measurements of education and math and reading. It's no way to put our nation forward when we don't concentrate on the things that make us competitive in this world. And when we don't focus on those things, we fall further and further behind. And I, for one, am not interested in that. I've spent my whole life serving, whether in the military or in my restaurants. I want to continue to serve to try to make this world and this country a better place for my children today and their children into the future.
Well said, brother. Kelly, we're about out of time. How can listeners get in touch with you, learn more, support you, plug into Kelly Cooper? How can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can visit my website. It's kellycooperarizona.com, all spelled out. And there you'll find a little bit about my history, key issues, how to sign my petition if you live in my district, how to contribute to the campaign. We're going to need to raise over $5 million, which sounds ridiculous for a job that doesn't come anywhere close to paying for that. But this is the most expensive media market in the country, and getting elected requires getting your message out. So anybody that's interested in understands the message that I'm putting forth, go visit that website, contribute to the campaign. If you live in the district, sign the petition, reach out, host events around the country or around the district. Those are the things that can be done to help.
Kelly, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your service to our nation so far. Thank you for your vision for the future. Thank you for your willingness to put yourself on the line to go do it. God bless you, brother. I'm excited by it.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, then take a break but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's time for the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. The Battle of the Month is Chancellorsville, which was in Virginia and was fought during our Civil War, April 30th through May 6th, 1863. Welcome, brother. Glad you could join us, Chris.
Denny, always a pleasure. I love doing Battle of the Month with you, for sure.
It's good for us. It's good for our listeners. We all need to refresh our history of the United States. Give us a quick review of your time in the Mother Army, and then we'll go to Chancellorsville.
Okay. I was a West Point grad 1987, did some active duty time, and went aviation, did a lot of flying and good times flying and scary times flying. And anyway, I just did the normal ladder of assignments like you did. Platoon leader, company commander, battalion staff, and then got to take a battalion to Iraq during the surge, which was really a highlight of my career, really, that honor of leading young men and women in combat and doing well at it was quite an opportunity. Opened some doors for me, and so lo and behold, you know, a couple assignments later, I become a general officer, and I do some very interesting things with NATO and NORTHCOM and the Pentagon and even the National Guard Bureau in D.C., so really a great career, interesting, fulfilling, challenging, wouldn't trade it for the world.
And now, like me, you're one of those old soldiers who's retired, right?
That's right. I've been retired a few years, and now I focus on U.S. history, military history. It's fascinating as I get older.
And it's history from before you were serving. And everybody I know, the youngsters I know, think what your service was ancient history.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Chancellorsville. Let's not waste our time.
Chancellorsville, classic American Civil War battle. Everyone has heard of the Battle of Chancellorsville. And I'm going to do some broad brushstrokes so everyone kind of has the contours of this battle. 160 years ago, last week, was this battle, 1 to 5 May, 1863. This is General Robert E. Lee versus Major General Fightin' Joe Hooker. Now, I like to start with why do we care about this battle? Well, it's my opinion is this is the best example of General Lee's tactical generalship because he was brilliant in this battle, and I'll explain why in a minute. It was a very tough loss for the Union because they outnumbered the Confederates by over 2-1 and still managed to lose this battle. The other thing is it gave Lee the confidence to start planning for another northern invasion, you know, kind of repeating what he tried to do at Antietam, but this time he would point his forces towards Gettysburg. Everyone's familiar with that one. So that would be a follow-on to the confidence building of Chancellorsville. And my personal favorite, this is one of history's best examples of contrasting leadership on full display, altering the outcome of a battle between these two generals. So that's why we should know it. That's why it's interesting. That's why history remembers it. Now, brief summary. In early 1863, Lincoln was frustrated. The Union cause was definitely in jeopardy. This is a pivotal year in the Civil War.
for those who understand the timeline. His two previous commanders, McClellan and Burnside, had both kind of failed miserably. No one seized Richmond. Things were looking pretty grim. And especially painful was Burnside's embarrassing defeat at Fredericksburg in the winter right before this battle. You're familiar with that one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was just a travesty of leadership and disaster for the Union. So Lincoln's new general is Hooker now. He devises a great plan. The forces are still kind of camped out across the Rappahannock River, or the Rapidan, I think it's the Rapidan, right there at Fredericksburg, and winter quarters. Now Hooker's coming out in the spring with a great plan. He's going to fix Lee's attention with two of his corps on the east side of the river. He's going to send three corps around behind him, crossing the Rappahannock and the Rapidan rivers. And Hooker basically thought if he could catch Lee out of position, Lee would be forced to retreat back towards Richmond or fight on very unfavorable ground.
That's pretty reasonable thinking, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, actually, this is one of the interesting things about this battle. It's a great plan. Hooker actually has a great operational plan. But because Lee was so competent as a tactical general, and I say tactical for a reason, which I know we won't probably be able to get into, but he was willing to take risks. And he just didn't play by Hooker's script at all. So it just didn't work out as planned in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, that's kind of the precursor. That's the big summary leading up to the blow by blow.
Okay. So we're getting ready to fight. And we have two generals, both of whom know what they're doing.
Yes.
But they're still very different. Tell us what happened.
Yes, they're very different generals. And it becomes obvious very quickly. So Lee knows something's up. This is like the 27th or 28th of April before the battle. As Hooker's starting to maneuver those corps up northwest and then across the river and to come in on Lee's west side. Lee had good cavalry. We all know that. Confederate cavalry was pretty good during the war. So he knew something was up. So he sent Stonewall Jackson. He basically divided his army in half, essentially, sent Stonewall Jackson west to meet Hooker's forces because he knew they were going to cross. And the whole thing is, as soon as Hooker's forces start encountering Jackson, they outnumber Jackson at this point like 3-1. And Hooker starts to become very defensive, very reactive, and, you know, basically saying, I need to wait for more of my forces to come and cross the river, et cetera, et cetera. I won't bore you with all the details. But he starts to really slow down and become very defensive right from the beginning. Now, the next day, after the forces clash, you know, west of Lee's position in Fredericksburg, then the next day, Jackson proposes a big flanking maneuver. This is another famous part of this battle. This is the big left hook by Jackson to catch the Union Army totally off guard. And Lee, being a risk taker, approves the move. Jackson moves out on 2 May, biggest flanking movement in the entire Civil War. Kicks butt, the Union flank crumbles, wreaks havoc. Of course, this is playing out in Hooker's mind pretty badly, so it's creating more hesitation. but at this point, Hooker still actually has the advantage. Lee's army is divided now in three pieces, one across the river, one on the other side of Hooker, and now Jackson's force is now further away, and they're not really united. But he just gets too defensive. He starts withdrawing. He cowers basically and starts moving back towards the Rapidan River and then eventually withdrawing. So, I mean, that's the action in a really quick, broad brush where the Union command, Joe Hooker, has like over a 2-1 total advantage. And on different days of the battle, he's like 3-1 advantage over Lee's forces. And he still can't manage to create a victory. So really embarrassing defeat, the brilliant moves by Lee and the ability to take risks. So it's a great example of a Civil War battle.
Well, which just shows that there's two things. There's plans, and then recognizing that when the first shot's fired, most plans are going to go to pot, and you've got to respond from that.
Absolutely.
And that's the hard part. You've got to have it within you to do that, and some people don't.
Yeah, that's right.
Lee did, and his opponent didn't.
Yeah, the famous quote by someone who I should know their name says, planning is invaluable. The plan is worthless, you know, but it's the planning process, understanding, yeah, you know, how you look at the battlefield and what you're trying to do. But yeah, this is a great example. But boy, Hooker was just hesitant and defensive, and he squandered a brilliant operational plan.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Chris Petty. Chris, we got a minute left. Tell us about Battle Digest. It's a great option for folks who want to learn more about our nation's battles.
Well, thanks. Battle Digest is my love, my business. I produce these historical summaries of famous military battles, mostly U.S. battles. And they are beautiful trifold brochures that summarize the action in basically 3,000 words. So in 30 minutes, with beautiful graphics and pictures of the commanders and all, you will have a full understanding of these famous battles throughout our history, and complete with lessons learned, you know, the strategy lessons, the leadership lessons. So I hope your listeners will take a look at battledigest.com. Just battledigest.com is my website, and take a look.
I certainly recommend it. Chris, thank you for your service to our nation and for being a great part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm looking forward to working with you well into the future.
Thanks, Denny, and thanks for your service, and I always enjoy being with you.
I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues Concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. So send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet William was a medic, but he'd never heard of Nurses Month. He does agree they do a lot of needed work and deserve recognition.
Thanks, William. I'd never heard of it either, and I agree, nurses deserve our thanks, always.
And Herm was a chaplain's assistant in the Army and is active now in his church. He'd never heard of the Black Robe Regiment, but he sure agrees with what they do. He'll be talking to his church leaders about this.
Good point, Herm. We all need to bring this to our church's leaders. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
On 23 May 1777, during the Revolutionary War at Sag Harbor, New York, Patriot troops under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Meigs captured several British vessels and burned Redcoat supplies. With the help of two local men, Meigs and his Connecticut Raiders grabbed the British commander from his bed early in the morning, firing only one gunshot. The Patriots used silent but deadly bayonets to capture the British fort, successfully avoiding announcing their presence with gunfire. The British had built their fort on a burial ground because it was the highest land in the area and had the best view of the harbor. They desecrated colonists' family gravesites, thereby losing the important battle for the hearts and minds of the residents. With six redcoats dead and 53 captives so far, the Patriots moved towards the harbor. The British ships anchored there eventually noticed the body of men moving towards them and opened fire. The Patriots, though, went on to burn 24 British ships and their cargoes. With an additional 37 prisoners, 170 Yankee raiders returned without having lost a single man. The Sag Harbor ambush was the only successful Patriot attack on Long Island between the British takeover in 1776 and their departure following the Treaty of Paris in 1783.
But what a victory it was. And on 25 May 1864, during the Civil War, a boat crew from the USS Marabessat made an unsuccessful attempt to destroy the Confederate ship Albemarle in the Roanoke River near Plymouth, North Carolina. After ascending the Middle River with two 100-pound torpedoes, Charles Baldwin, a coal heaver, and John Lloyd, a coxswain, swam across the Roanoke carrying a tow line with which they hauled the torpedoes to the Plymouth shore. Baldwin planned to swim down to the Albemarle and position a torpedo on either side of her bow. Across the river, Alexander Crawford, a fireman, would then explode the weapons. However, Baldwin was discovered by a sentry within a few yards of the Albemarle, and the daring mission had to be abandoned. On 29 May, exhausted, the team returned to their ship.
You know, Colonel, whenever I hear the term torpedo, I always think of the World War II torpedoes that were launched out of submarines and PT boats, but that's not what these were, was it?
No. They're just waterborne bombs.
Mines.
Yeah.
On 23 May, 1900, 37 years after he earned it, Sergeant William Harvey Kearny was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his bravery on July 18, 1863, during the Civil War, while fighting for the Union as a member of the 54th Massachusetts Colored Infantry. He was the first African-American to receive the Medal of Honor. The 54th Massachusetts, formed in 1863, served as the prototype for African-American regiments in the Union Army. On July 16, 1863, the regiment saw its first action at James Island, South Carolina, performing admirably in a confrontation with experienced Confederate troops. 3 days later, they volunteered to lead the assault on Fort Wagner, a highly fortified outpost on Morris Island that was part of the Confederate defense of Charleston Harbor. Struggling against a lethal barrage of cannon and rifle fire, they fought their way to the top of the fort's parapet. Sergeant Kearny was wounded there while planting the U.S. flag. The regiment's white commander, Colonel Shaw, was killed, and his soldiers were overwhelmed by the fort's defenders and had to fall back. Despite his wound, Kearny refused to retreat until he removed the flag, and though successful, he was shot again in the process. The 54th lost 281 of its 600 men in its brave attempt to take Fort Wagner. The 54th went on to perform honorably in expeditions in Georgia and Florida, most notably at the Battle of Olustee. Kearny eventually recovered and was discharged with disability on June 30, 1864.
And on 24th of May, 1941, during World War II, Germany's largest battleship, the Bismarck, sank the pride of the British fleet, HMS Hood. The Bismarck was the most modern of Germany's battleships, a prize coveted by other nations' navies. The HMS Hood, originally launched in 1918, was Britain's largest battlecruiser, but was also capable of achieving relatively fast speeds of 31 knots. The two met in the North Atlantic, northeast of Iceland, where two British cruisers had tracked down the Bismarck. Commanded by Admiral Lütjens, commander-in-chief of the German fleet, the Bismarck sunk the Hood, resulting in the death of 1,500 of its crew. Only three Brits survived. During the engagement, the Bismarck's fuel tank was damaged. Lütjens tried to make it for the French coast, but was sighted again only 3 days later. Torpedoed to the point of incapacity, the Bismarck was finally sunk by a ring of British warships.
And on 25 May 1945, during World War II, our Chiefs of Staff set November 1, 1945, as the start date for the invasion of Japan, Operation Olympic. Fortunately, Japan surrendered in August, and we didn't have to invade.
Really, that would have been a bloody invasion. And on 26 May 1945, during World War II, some 464 American B-29 Superfortress bombers firebombed Tokyo with about 4,000 tons of incendiaries. Parts of the imperial palaces were damaged, and so was the nearby business district, which was the targeted area. A total of 26 of the Marianas-based bombers were lost.
And on 26 May 1951, during the Korean War, UN forces drove the communists back across the 38th parallel on most of the Korean battlefields.
And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. Find out about the laws in your state and what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a woman pulled a gun and started shooting at a man who attempted to rape her Monday in Rock Hill, South Carolina, local police said on Tuesday. The officers responded to calls regarding a sexual assault around 10 p.m. on a Monday. A woman advised officers that a man attempted to rape her. The victim said she was walking on the parkway, saw a shadow, and the suspect grabbed her. A fight began with the victim striking the suspect multiple times when he tried to pull her pants down, according to the report. The suspect tried to pull the woman into a wooded area. The woman was able to flee and grab a gun and began shooting at the suspect, who fled the scene.
Thanks, Colonel. The fastest growing demographic in the firearms industry today are women, and for good reason. Women are targeted more often because they are considered easier to prey upon by violent criminals. However, as evidenced in today's story, you give a woman a gun and she's equal to any man on the planet. This woman survived the attack with her virtue and her life intact, but she could have done even better with just a few changes. Here are some things you and your loved ones can do to avoid the physical and emotional trauma this South Carolina woman faced at the hands of her attacker. First, it was 10 o'clock at night on a public street. Most animal predators come out at night, and human predators are no exception. Criminals like to launch their attack from cover of darkness, so it's best for women and men as well to not be walking public streets after dark. A serial rapist is looking for the lone woman. Two women is one victim and one witness. If you have to be out at night or even in the daytime on public streets, it's best to take someone with you. Most often, serial rapists will let two or more people pass by and continue waiting for the lone woman. Here's what serial rapists routinely look for in a potential victim. Women with long hair or hair in a ponytail, women wearing clothing that's easily removed, and women who are preoccupied with their cell phones. Rapists seldom carry guns, but sometimes carry knives or scissors to remove clothing. They largely depend on the woman's terror and compliance and their own physical strength to overpower their victim. Second, this woman was able to scare away her attacker, but only after acquiring a firearm. It would have been best if she'd had the gun on her person, because many times women are unable to get away to retrieve a gun. This means getting trained and getting armed. There are 27 states now who allow people to carry a firearm without a permit. It's called constitutional or permitless carry. Whether your state requires a permit or not, you need to get proper training in the use of armed self-defense so that you are safe, legal, and effective. This South Carolina belle did a great job protecting herself, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes the way she kept on fighting. Ladies, always remember, you must get trained and armed and never give up the fight.
Well said. Our movie of the month is The World War II Codebreakers Who Saved America. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog, you can get the link and watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your comments about it. Please send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Israeli Defense Major Elliot Chodoff will discuss Israel. Colonel Matt Lohmeyer will then discuss helping our veterans. Navy vet Ruth Ann Hunter will discuss her service, and Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will present the movie of the month. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase the book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.